word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Yourselves in the Lord. Delight yourselves in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Yourselves in the Lord. Delight yourselves in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. And he will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Is my sword and shield, and Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Oh, Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Oh, Jesus is the Lord of the way hey, I feel.
In a world that dictates how we're supposed to feel and how we're supposed to behave and you know, what's supposed to make us happy, we can always trust in the Lord and allow His Word and His Holy Spirit to dictate that and agree with Him. And then the world becomes that which does no longer matter.
Trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, and His promise will endure, for His joy is gonna be my strength. Though the darkness may last for a night, His joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Take me past the crowds of people
and the priests who sing their prayers. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the gold, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take me past the outer courts and to the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Take me by the crowds of people, the priests that sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the gold, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the gold, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to start in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. This week has been an interesting week. In talking with Rick, he asked me a question. He asked me why I seemed so angry about some of the stuff I'd been seeing on Facebook and with regard to the whole court case about same-sex marriage and the law that was just passed. And I had to think about what the truth was, why I'm really so angry. And it didn't boil down to the fact that there's sin in the world. I mean, there's always been sin in the world, so it's not like that's a new thing. For me, it boiled down to Christians accepting it. The thing I saw most this week was Christians using the rainbow. The rainbow that in Genesis 9 was a promise to his people. It's one thing for the world to use it. Satan and his people have always perverted the things of the Lord. But it's another thing when so-called Christians use that which is supposed to be a reminder to us of a promise that the Lord gave his people and a reminder to God of his promise to his people. And they pervert it and use it for their ways, for something that glorifies them and their choices instead of glorifying God, which is what it was intended to do. Genesis 9:11-17. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Verse 15 again, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you. That thing, that rainbow that we see as a remembrance for us, is also a reminder to God of that promise. It infuriated me. I don't know that there's been anything that's made me so angry in quite some time. But it infuriated me that Christians, so-called, would use what they know to be from the Lord and of the Lord and a sign for his people to stand in opposition to the word, to stand in opposition to what he stood for. For what being called a Christian stands for. It has become almost a shameful thing to be called a Christian, because there's no difference between Christians and those in the world. So I go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, which is Christian, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's a step in humility. That's recognizing we were wrong. If you have sided on the wrong side, if you have thought you have not been choosing a side, you have chosen a side. But if you're standing on the wrong side, now is the time. He's calling on you to stand. Stand on the right side. Humble yourselves. Pray. Seek his face. Turn from your wicked ways. Your wicked ways are siding with the world instead of him and his word. His word is true. Every word in his word is true. And if you don't believe it, then you don't believe in God and you should not call yourself a Christian. Either his entire word is true or he is a liar and you shouldn't serve him. And I know he is not a liar. Humble yourselves and pray and turn from your wicked ways. And he will forgive you.
Amen, Sue. So I'd like y'all to turn to 1 Kings. We're going to go to chapter 18. In 1 Kings chapter 18, you're going to see a story that unfolds between Elijah and King Ahab. And I'll try and break it down. We'll get to the point that I think is really important. Elijah was a guy who was reading God's word and came to the conclusion that Israel had so fallen away that it shouldn't rain. And he went and talked to the king and told the king it won't rain. Now, it's interesting to note that there was no, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah saying, go tell the king it's not going to rain. No, Elijah believed God and went and spoke to the king because God's word had proclaimed that if this stuff happened, it wasn't going to rain. And he believed God. It got God's attention because he operated in faith. And God honored that word. And guess what? It didn't rain. Now we're coming to the point where God's going to bring the rain. There's a lot of time that has passed between then. If you want to go read it, go do so. Let's start with verse 1. We'll just start here and see how we do. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go shew thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So now that relationship between Elijah and the Lord had already had become established. And the word of the Lord comes to him and gives him instruction to go talk to the king. And Elijah went to shew himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor. I'm not going to read actually all of this. You're going to see, essentially, Elijah comes, meets a guy. The guy actually was a believer. And he promises to that man, go tell the king, I'll be here when the king gets here. And that's exactly what happens. Okay, so we're going to skip down to, let's see, going down. Yes, verse 17, here we go. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now it's interesting to note Ahab's perspective in all this. Ahab was the one that troubled Israel. He was the one that drew their hearts away from God. He was the one that allowed all the false prophets and false teaching and all that stuff to come on and promote it to the people, and they receive it. He was the one that brought this famine and destruction to Israel, not Elijah, but he wanted to blame God. That is so like people. God puts in his word very clear instructions. God's word is true. What you were saying, Sue, about all of God's word is true. All of his word is true, and it's clear, and it's concise, and it is meant to be understood by those that have ears to hear. And Jesus promises to give us his spirit to hear it and understand it, and he will teach us all things. Is that not the promise? Amen. So it's not complicated. Ahab had drawn the children of Israel there away from God, and there was a consequence to that action. And they were living in the consequence, and they wanted to turn around and blame God for it. That reminds me of a lot of Christians today, or Christians so-called. Okay, verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. See, Jezebel was Ahab's wife. And so they had, looks like, about 850 so-called prophets of Baal that were telling the people everything they wanted to hear. Telling the people exactly everything they wanted to hear to feel good about themselves and to point the blame of their situation on God. But the blame of their situation was squarely on their own heads and on their own shoulders. And Elijah's going to do something about that. Or God's going to, I should say, through Elijah. Let's see what happens. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. This is where Christians are today. Look, follow the world and just accept it and do it. Or take a stand and follow God and quit flirting around with the world. Make a stinking choice. You say you love God, right? Oh, I love Jesus. All the special pretty songs. There's a scripture that says, I need to look that one up. Basically, it says that what you say doesn't matter, but your feet are going to tell the true story. You know, we can say all kinds of stuff, or Christians can say all kinds of stuff, but it's what you do that really shows where your heart's at. It will show through the choices you make what you love. Okay. So Elijah is setting a thing here, and he's saying, it's about time we pick a side. If God be God, let's follow God. And if he's not God, then let's follow Baal. And the people answered him not a word. Verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. You know, there's a scripture I remember used to be used quite a bit talking against my father, Brother Davy. You know, in a multitude of witnesses, what if all the witnesses are wrong, are liars, are froward men? God's witness is true. You know how many times Brother Davy has stood by himself in the face of every so-called Christian telling him he was wrong? Here's Elijah standing in front of 450 prophets. Now, if you were a betting person and didn't know God, those odds seem pretty good to go against Elijah. But if you know God, then you know God was about to do a miracle. Okay, let's keep going here. Let's see, verse 23. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. All right, that's what you call a test. Let's find out. I'm one guy. You got 450. You go do your thing, and we're going to see. Who's ever God lights this on fire, let him be God. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock. Let's see, I just already read that part. Oh, and here it is. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time that they offered the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. So all 450 did all they knew to do, and they got nothing. Nothing. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And he did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord is he, the Lord, he is the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. I had a discussion with a minister some years back, Southern Baptist, Fundamental Baptist, I don't know, Baptist flavor, variety. And we were talking about the power of God, and I was saying that today, and gosh, this is what, how many years ago? 10? Today, at now, this time, it is one of the most critical times that the power of God be manifest in the church, so that there is a distinction between the word of Baal and the word of God. And he said, "Oh, we don't need that today. We have the whole Bible. That's good enough." And I'm thinking, yeah, not so much. I said, "No, sir. Today it is most definitely needed, because there's such a dilution of quote unquote God's word." How many, quote, Bibles are there on the shelf? 50, 100, all of them saying something different? How do you know which is the right word of God? How do you know which is the right fellowship to be part of? I hear people tell me on a regular basis, "Oh, I just have a hard time finding a right church." Well, or, you know, the right church, or a, I think that's more of an excuse than anything else. But how do you know if you're in a church that preaches the word of God? Because the power of God will be there. What was the contrast between the prophets of Baal and Elijah? Elijah brought forth the power of God, and it was demonstrated without question. Without question. I want to turn over to the New Testament now. I want to go to Mark. Sue was asking me this morning about preaching. She was struggling. I said, "Sue, if you ever wonder what to preach, you can always preach the gospel. The gospel is always a great subject to preach." And it's interesting that that is specifically what Jesus told us to go preach. In Mark 16, chapter 16, verse 15, "And he," that is Jesus, "said unto them," that is the disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, Brother Steve talked about this, and he brought it in line with, "As ye go into the world, preach the gospel." You have the good news of redemption of all mankind with you everywhere you go if you have Jesus Christ. You lack nothing. How many times have you thought, "Oh, I can't this," or "Oh, I can't that," or "Oh, I can't the other," because you feel somewhat deficient in the ability or the knowledge? Let me tell you what. It says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If you are questioning your ability to bring forth the gospel based on your capacity in one form or another, you are yet living in unbelief and still don't get it. You were not worthy, you are not worthy, and you will not be worthy in your flesh to do anything of God. Just accept that. That is expressly why we needed Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And that sacrifice was sufficient for everything. He took upon him the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. It is done. When he said, "It is finished," by God, it was finished. You carry the knowledge of the Almighty God and his gift of his sacrifice with you everywhere you go. And we are commanded, go and preach the gospel to every creature. As you go, preach the gospel. And the best way to preach the gospel is how you live. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words, right? You love one another. You love one another. You love God. You love one another. You demonstrate that. And when necessary or when appropriate, you open your mouth and you bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our commandment. Show forth Christ. Goes on to verse 16. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Awesome. Believeth what? You? The denominational doctrine? No. Believes the gospel. See, when you go out and preach, what are you preaching? Are you going to be like the prophets of Baal? Preaching tradition? Preaching those things contrary to God's word and God's gospel? Or are you going to preach the pure gospel? What are you going to preach? If somebody believes what you're spewing and it's not the gospel, they've yet believed another lie. And that's where the church is at today. See, the church is filled with prophets of Baal, and people are lapping it up unbelievably. We are Christians, are told to preach the gospel, the good news, the blood of Jesus. And, okay, so back in my school days, there was a great little cartoon that was called Conjunction Junction. What's your function? A conjunction is that thing that joins two things together. The word and is a conjunction. A little homeschooling here. And is a conjunction. It joins two together. They are not independent of each other. They are combined. Now, if you use the word or, they could operate independent. But these are not independent. The word and is used, which means they go together and they are not supposed to be separated. He that believeth the gospel and is saved, believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Those signs are the demonstration of the power of God. That's the confirmation that it is God's word and not somebody else's word. Like go back and draw the comparison again. Children of the prophets of Baal, all day, they had all day, nothing. Elijah, flame. Okay, do you see the comparison? You get it? God confirms his word. He will not confirm your word if you're speaking of you. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, that is in my stead, in my place, because Jesus was going away. See, he handed the mantle of the responsibility of preaching the gospel to those disciples. And he gave them the instruction to teach others to do the same thing. You get it, right? So what we see here is that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, in my stead, in my place, because I'm going to be with my Father. I give you this responsibility. You go do this. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to go to the next part because it's the demonstration of the principle I'm trying to make. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And, look at the conjunction again, right? These go together. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The Lord confirmed his word with signs following. You want to know where God is? Look for the evidence. Look for the evidence. Now you can take that and you can look inwardly and ask yourself, where is the evidence? There's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about where there is no ox, the crib is clean. but much increase comes from the fruit of the ox. In other words, there's evidence. If you have an ox, there's going to be evidence of it, right? We have a little puppy. Outside, there's evidence that we have a dog. Part of that is because Naomi fails to pick up the evidence on a regular basis. There is evidence. I don't want to make light of this. But it is a principle that is easy to understand and comprehend, because if God is in you, there is going to be evidence. And if you are in him, there's going to be evidence of that relationship. If there's no evidence of that relationship, then stop kidding yourself. You are not in one with God. You may have fooled yourself. You may have convinced yourself otherwise. You may be someone who's been following after one of the multitude prophets of Baal in the so-called apostate church today, thinking you're going the right direction, but if the evidence is not there, stop, put on the brakes, look around you. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? James puts it in a great way. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. And he's not talking about the do's and the don'ts of the law. He's talking about the power of God. Some say I have faith, some say I have works. I'll tell you what, I'll show you my faith by my works. That's the power of God being manifest and demonstrated and brought forth to confirm the word and be something different than every other flavor of so-called Christianity out there. If you're talking to somebody, and it has happened to me over and over and over, where is the proof that one belief is any more valid than another unless the power of God is manifested? Last week I mentioned about Paul, and he said, you have 10,000, you know, instructors in Christ, but not many fathers. We went through that. He goes to the point where he says that I come not to hear the speech of them which are puffed up, but to see the power, because the kingdom of God is a kingdom not of words, but of power. I messed that up a little bit, but you get the point. Anybody can flap their tater trap, as my dad would say, but not everybody can raise the dead. I want to be the person that is so sold out to the Lord and walking in faith that there is no obstacle that I let stand before me. And you know what? I can do that. Amen. I can do that. You know why I can do that? Because Jesus said I could do that. Amen. And I don't care what tells me I can't do that, because there's a lot of me that tells me I can't do that, but I know that is a liar. Amen. God's word is not a liar, and it is true. And today Christians need to make a stand. Are they going to believe God's word? Are they going to believe the prophets of Baal? Oh, the prophets of Baal, their path is very easy. It's loosey-goosey, man. It's like free love. I never experienced free love. Probably a good thing. And as Sue says, there's no such thing of it. And isn't that the truth? And that what they're talking about? Their way is going to appeal to your flesh, to your feelings. God's way is going to appeal to your spirit. I pray and hope that you choose the narrow path to serve God in truth and trust Him. Learn to trust Him. Learn to walk in faith and believe God and His word. That's what I pray. Amen. Thank you.
humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked way. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin.
Their land.